These words are offered to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May be seated. So let's take a moment to place this story in the Gospel of Mark. Remember that the story of the feeding of the 5,000 men, as it says in Mark, takes place right after Herod's feast, the one in which the head of John the Baptist was the center presentation. And this story is almost a total contrast. Jesus' feast is in a deserted place, not a palace. It's given for the crowd of us, not the elite. It is given for all Israel. The numbers 5 and 12 are everywhere. It is a great contrast in powers. So let me tell you a little story here. After months of hard work and years of savings, the day came when Rev and Jackie were going to open their own restaurant. All that was needed for them was to have the final health inspection and the issuing of their business permit so they could open up their restaurant. They had planned this for a long time. They had talked about it. They had dreamed about it. And the inspection was scheduled for that early day in late September morning. And then Our Place, as they called the restaurant, would be in business. But that morning, the winds and rains of Hurricane Hugo hit, unexpectedly making its way 200 miles inland into North Carolina. It hit their town. Trees were uprooted, power lines were downed, homes and stores were destroyed. Rev and Jackie hurried down to their restaurant, and they found everything there intact. The deputy sheriff pulled up at the time, and as they surveyed the outside of their building, he told them that their restaurant, the fire station next door, and a gas station down the road were the only places left with electricity in the whole town. Reverend Jackie immediately called the health inspector to come by, give them their pass, and let them open up. But because of the power outage, he couldn't get into office. He couldn't issue the permit. No permit, no business opening. With a refrigerator stocked with 300 pounds of bacon and beef and bushels of tomatoes and lettuce and bread, they could not escape the conclusion that there was only one thing to do: give the food away. They told the deputy, "Tell your co-workers and all the other emergency people that come here that we'll have free BLTs and coffee for anybody who wants to drop by." Soon, firefighters, police officers, electric line workers, other responders to this town disaster were filing into Our Place. When this couple heard that another restaurant was scalping people by charging $10 for 2 eggs, toast, and bacon, they put a sign up in their window, "Free BLTs, free coffee." Families, travelers, street people were welcomed. And then something began to happen. People who came in started to clean counters, sweep floors. Volunteers took over dishwashing and helped Rev and Jackie at the grill. Hearing about what was going on in Our Place, the local radio station letting people know. And people from a nearby town that was not hit too badly by the storm brought food from their own freezers. There were all kinds of dry goods and dairy products and chicken and milk and foodstuffs of all kinds. And so went on that long day and days after. By the end of it all, when the power finally returned to the town and most of the work was over, those first cups of coffee and BLTs somehow had stretched to over 10,000 meals. The restaurant's small stock increased by 500 loaves of bread, cases of mayonnaise, 350 pounds of coffee, and bushels of produce. I've heard this story over and over again, because Jackie is my cousin. It's one that got embedded into the story of our family. And I hear it again when we talk about the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus said it simply, time and time again. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and do what you please with your money, your person, your land. And he says, then don't be anxious, because everything you need will be given to you. But you know, we Christians have this very long history of trying to squeeze Jesus out of this. Trying to squeeze him out of, if you will, public life and keep him as a private little savior. But to do that, I think, is to ignore what the Bible really says. For you see, Jesus talks a whole lot about this thing called the kingdom of God, the realm in which God works and has power. And what he means by that is our public life reorganized. Reorganized toward love. Reorganized toward grace. Reorganized toward neighborliness. And these signs or miracles that may seem odd to us at times are in fact the typical gifts we receive when the world gets organized and placed under God. Everywhere Jesus goes in the world, things get rearranged. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor are freed from debt. Jesus left ordinary people dazzled, amazed, and grateful. He often left the powerful people angry and upset. The wonders of the new age of the coming of God's kingdom really do dazzle us. But they also make us nervous. We deeply yearn for God's new creation, and I think we also deeply fear it. The feeding of the multitudes, as recorded in Mark's Gospel, is an example of the new world coming into being through God. When the disciples, charged with feeding the hungry crowd, find 5 loaves and 2 fishes, Jesus took them, blessed, broke, and gave the bread. You might recognize that. Those are the 4 decisive verbs of our sacramental existence. Jesus conducted a Eucharist,
a gratitude, a thanksgiving.
People here, they are gathered in 50s and 100s. Just as is recounted in one telling of the people wandering in the desert, as they're sorted in the 50s and 100s to gather and enjoy the knee-deep manna and quail God provided in abundance to the journey into the new life. Jesus demonstrates that the world is still filled with abundance and freighted with generosity. If bread is broken and shared, there is enough for all. Jesus is engaged in the sacramental ordering of a public reality. Using what we have, God acts graciously to provide what we need. Notice that. When it came time to feed the multitude, Jesus said, "You do it." Human agency is God's way of dealing graciously with the world. He uses us, our skills, our talents, our resources, to fill the world with God's abundance. Often, though, we prefer what is more mundane and profane, what is simply everyday, and the profane, which originally means empty, flat, one-dimensional, if you will. The market ideology that we have wants us to believe that the world is indeed profane, that life consists of buying and selling, of weighing and measuring, of trading, and then finally sinking down into death and nothingness. But Jesus presents this entirely different kind of economy, infused with a mystery of abundance and a cruciform kind of generosity. 5,000 are fed with 12 baskets of food left over, one for every tribe of Israel. And Jesus transforms the economy by blessing it and breaking it beyond all self-interest. From broken Friday bread comes Sunday abundance. I think, though, when we forget that Jesus is the bread of the world, we start eating junk food. The food of the Pharisees, the food of Herod, the bread of moralism and of power. Too often the church, I think, forgets that the true bread is Jesus, his love and grace and forgiveness. And we get tempted by all that other junk food. But Jesus' abundance is about transformation of ourselves and of the world. And the closer we stay to Jesus, the more we will bring in a new economy of abundance to this world. You know, the disciples didn't often get what Jesus was about, because they kept trying to fit him into the old patterns. They kept trying to want to make him a part of this world. And when we do that, we tend to make Jesus innocuous, irrelevant, and quite frankly, boring. And he is anything but. None of us knows what risks God's Spirit may take to empower us to share in God's abundance with the world. Our faith, ministry, and hope are that the Creator will indeed entrust us with His generosity, empower us so that bread may indeed abound.